TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. Kathy Kelly, Stop the War on Iraq. In 1996, Kathy Kelly co-founded Voices in the Wilderness, a Chicago-based campaign to end the U.S.-UN sanctions against Iraq. During the first 2 weeks of the Gulf War, she was part of a peace encampment on the Iraq-Saudi border. Very courageously, she and people from 18 different countries planned to be in the way of the invading forces. Later, Kathy Kelly and members of Voices traveled the road from Baghdad to Amman, while refugees were killed there by U.S. and U.K. bombs. Since then, a whole movement of nonviolent, compassionate action has sprung up. People from the U.S., including Kathy Kelly, have recently gone to occupied Palestine to ride with ambulances, stay in homes of Palestinians, or act as observers at army roadblocks. The presence of these so-called internationals has saved lives and given us a rare insight into the reality of that war. Voices in the Wilderness is now looking for individuals who are interested in going to Iraq in the event of a major U.S. assault. And you are about to hear from Kathy Kelly what these peace teams would actually do and how to become part of them. Kathy Kelly spoke at a conference of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. She put the current threat of war against Iraq in the context of the Gulf War and of the sanctions, which really are a war that never ended, more deadly in its impact on children and the elders than even the worst bombardments. The war now looming, she says, is foremost a war over oil. Kathy Kelly.
The United States is gearing up, I think in part because of George Bush's electoral campaign needs, in part because of the United States' desire to assure that any country in the world, right now particularly focused on the Middle East, that stands up to United States dominance, that says that it won't agree that its precious and irreplaceable resources should be sold to the United States at cut-rate prices, if it doesn't agree to the United States controlling the flow of petrodollars to assure that dollars that go into the Middle East from any country, Japan or Germany, who mainly derive their oil from the Middle East, and of course a great deal of Iraq's oil ends up coming back into the gas tanks in this country, but if countries don't agree that the recycling of those petrodollars should go back into U.S. banks, U.S. corporations, U.S. weapon-making companies, then the United States will punish them because that's a crime. To stand up to the United States on that level is a crime. And so I come from Chicago. St. Charles is in Missouri, and that's where one Boeing company is now working on 12-hour shifts, open 24 hours a day, manufacturing the equipment, the materials, so there will be enough of what they call the joint destruction action munition kits that can allow for surveillance. The cruise missiles that are also produced by Boeing are being refigured and rewired so that they won't have nuclear tips on them. They want those ones now to have conventional tips to be used, presumably, in an attack that seems almost imminent against Iraq. And, of course, when the haves and the have-nots become so disparate, then I suppose we could expect that people in great desperation will do what we've seen Palestinian suicide bombers do. Please don't hear me in the slightest try to justify random acts of violence that are targeted to take out people standing in bus centers, in cafes, in grocery stores. But I do feel that we need to understand here that even as though we might recoil and feel that it's repugnant for teenagers to go out and strap themselves up with explosives and be ready to take their own lives and those of others, we need to recognize that here we recruit teenagers at age 16 through ROTC, through high school programs, to be part of systematic violence that will take out whole cities full of grocery stores and cafes and bus stops. What is to be done? By way of invitation, I want to tell you of our plan to reenact the Gulf Peace Team, which was a very brave and plucky experiment in the further invention of nonviolence in 1991. We were 72 people from 18 different countries camped on the Iraq side of the Iraq-Saudi border, wanting to say basically don't shoot and intervene in between the warring parties, not aware, I'm not sure anyone could be at that time, that the war that would break out would be an air war, so that we couldn't have been more irrelevant. And as the planes flew over, we were filled with dismay, but we certainly weren't much of a deterrent. However, then eventually we were evacuated to Baghdad. We were there for 4 days and then evacuated clear out of Iraq to Jordan. And then we undertook what I thought was perhaps a slight deterrent to the continual attack on the roads between Amman and Baghdad. Attacking those roads totally violated Geneva Conventions, which say you always have to leave a way out for civilians and a way in for humanitarian relief. And the United States was mercilessly attacking those roads. As we left Baghdad while the war was still going on, our drivers had to swerve to miss huge craters that had been created by bombardments. And even the station chief from CBS was almost struck in his little Toyota when he was driving back and forth. So we determined to always be on those roads as much as we possibly could, bringing humanitarian relief in or driving out, accompanying drivers, taking refugees out. That was a clue to us of how in the future we might possibly be able to be in the way in the event of a major U.S. assault. So what we're planning now is the Iraq Peace Team. What we'd like to develop are affinity groups across the United States comprised of people who would be ready to go to Iraq if this assault occurs, who would be even starting now to try to get the funding by appealing to friends and relatives and community members, because it would be an expensive endeavor that would cost both the airfare and an extended stay, and also, you know, finding those people in your community who could clear a calendar for a significant stretch of time, because we don't know when it would be possible to come back. We also don't know when it would be likely to leave. So it would mean having the time free, the commitment to nonviolence, ideally some experience being in a war zone or in a situation of very heightened conflict and tension. Maybe it was be in a prison in your past experience, or maybe Catholic worker houses are always good for that. Or teaching high school, but some kind of, you know, experience of oneself under considerable stress. Those are the people that we'd be looking to participate in this. Some of us saw this work in Sarajevo in 1991 and in 1992. Particularly in 1991, Italians had worked out a very, very democratic representation of affinity groups for a 500-person strong team that went into Sarajevo. We were there for maybe 5 days during very, very intense bombing, and I never saw such discipline or such careful representation. I really believe that this can work, so you would be very, very invited to be in touch with us to help form this Iraq Peace Team. We have a delegation in Iraq right now, and two will follow, so there's plenty to do. If you know any people who are free and looking for a place to kind of fit in and are committed to nonviolence, and we'd certainly welcome them. We find that now that we've sent 42 delegations, that it is possible to go over to Iraq and come back, much as the Witness for Peace groups did in going to Central America, and just say, look, this is what we've seen and heard. Here are what ordinary people in Iraq have told us about their situation, although we don't ask people questions about their political situation there. It would be too dangerous to answer them. For the peace team, it's a different brief, if you will. We want to go over there and dwell with, take up residence in, not only Baghdad, but ideally Mosul in the north, Basra in the south, Fallujah and other smaller cities, and then have a third one team in Baghdad, one team in spread out between smaller cities, and then a third team that we call the road crew that would go between these various cities, so that if the United States decides to hit the northern trade routes or the lucrative oil fields in the south, We would not only be in Baghdad, we wouldn't want to be seen as trying to protect the regime necessarily. We'd also be in those places, and the U.S. would take the risk of bombing internationals and citizens from their own country who would already be there in advance. So this is a deterrent, and it's also to give witness to what would be happening to Iraqi people, ordinary Iraqi people, during a massive assault. And ideally to also fan out to some of the electrical facilities, the sewage and sanitation facilities, the schools, the bridges, and say, look, this is an infrastructure that people need if they're going to survive. The way to engage in training for these peace team efforts is to do it. You know, you get trained real fast in the immediate situation. I think a deep-seated commitment to nonviolence, a belief in the possibility of pacifism, is crucial. But people will always feel fears. There's nobody that goes forth into war zones, I don't think, that doesn't feel fear. But courage is the ability to control our fears, and the best way to get that courage, I think, is to catch it. We catch courage from one another, and then to be in the actual situation and learn how one governs one's fears so that you're not steered by fear. And that can happen here in this country as well. I think the people that go to prisons as part of the SOA, you know, learn how to marshal their fears in order to go through six or more months in U.S. prisons without being controlled by fear, much less be controlled by the fears of others, by the fears of loved ones. But it's very, very important, I think, that the groups that have the wider networks, groups like the Christian Peacemaker Team, American Friends Service Committee, that we rely on their voices to interpret what these actions are intended to do and to be about, because they clearly have much wider networks, and it's good to be kind of a magnet to pull some of the mainstream groups into more dramatic challenges to what the United States is presently prepared to do.
That was Kathy Kelly, co-founder of Voices in the Wilderness. If you feel inspired to challenge what the U.S. is prepared to do, you can find more information on the website of Voices at www.nonviolence.org/VITW. And VITW is the abbreviation of Voices in the Wilderness. How such peace work might look like in practice becomes very vividly clear from Kathy Kelly's recent experience in occupied Palestine. Here is her account of how she and five other members of Voices entered the town of Jenin.
We would not have gotten into Jenin city or the Jenin camp without two particular sources of help. One was sometimes very young kids, Palestinian kids, who would risk quite a bit. I mean, maybe even their lives for all I know, but possible imprisonment and maybe physical harm while imprisoned, to guide people